Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. In July, Jan and I attended a wedding in Ithaca, New York. It happened that the accommodations were provided at a motel near Cornell, and a mile from the church we had gone to serve in 1979. Where were you 10, 20, 30 years ago? We walked one afternoon that weekend back into the hamlet of Forest Home, founded in 1794, the community in which our church was located. We walked that afternoon back into our younger life there, not so very long ago. Forest Home is an old mill town, long since demilled, no disrespect to Cecil B., and now surrounded by godless Cornell, so-called for its secular foundations, New York State's land-grant school, established by Ezra Cornell in 1865. The hamlet contains houses from the early 1800s, so marked, and through the community flows a river, Fall Creek, which runs its way downhill and into Cayuga Lake. You cross a one-lane bridge which spans the river gorge about 30 feet above the water. At what amounts to the only intersection in the hamlet, the meeting point of two roads, one river, and a walkway, there was built in 1915 a little Methodist church. Forest Home is an oddly and gracefully New England-like incursion into the Empire State, and in that hamlet was our first appointment, our first church. We passed by on this walk the Cornell Veterinary School barns with some livestock therein alive. To the right, the Cornell plantations and wildflower gardens appeared largely unchanged after 30 years. The little walkway along the road led us downhill to the creek and to our former home. We passed by each house, then as now inhabited by Cornell faculty and staff, and we let the mist and rain of memory descend. We remembered a family of four whose father at 50 died of cancer, leaving a developmentally delayed daughter. We remembered a prominent scholar who came once to our home and whose name we mispronounced. We remembered a young biologist and his beautiful family of blonde daughters and spouse who expected tenure and, in a sudden cruelty, was disappointed. We remembered an aged couple, he dapper, she dour, and her proverb, "Time flies, ah no, time stays, we go." The saying in memory fit the day's memory of the saying. We remembered an insurance agent whose office we passed and that he had given us gifts at the births of our two older children, China nameplates. From his wheelchair, he had lamented our move in 1981, saying, "It seems like the bishop should give you a year or two to consolidate the gains." At the bridge, there rose up an old house, circa 1815, in which the church's matriarch had cared for her aged father for many years. Every Friday afternoon, his former law partner would come by, open the bedroom window, fish out two long cigars, and sit for an hour in smoke and silence, and then leave without speech needed. "How I hated that smoke," she once said. And yet, what I wouldn't give to have it again. Down the road, we remembered a young man with four children and a business who also struggled with alcohol. We remembered a doctor with two delightful toddlers, one of whom was later to die at age 20, rafting on white water. We remembered a poor young couple housed in those years above her father's garage, whose earthly hope they had invested in Amway. We remembered a retired colonel, a Vietnam veteran, whose daughters chafed at and rebelled against his authority. We remembered a saintly professor who was later to take his own life. And we remembered a sea of students emerging into adult sunlight, struggling to get a foothold, mumbling to find their voice. After an hour, we turned back and walked out of the daydream, the remembrance we had entered. Where were you, September 20th, 1999, 1989, 1979? On return, repassing all hurts, all the many and deep cuts, ravine-like, gorge-deep, all the many hurts which we had recalled on our entry, other memories stepped up alongside us. Other memories accompanied us. Other memories embraced us. And I would not want to try to assess which were the more real, the 4 feet carrying us or the four winds of memory guiding us. After 30 years, back then, we remembered two. We remembered as well that the struggling students had, if nothing else, the presence of one another in common fellowship and common struggle. Some fell in love, we remembered, some married too. The saintly suicide had 6 children and a deeply loving Quaker wife, all surrounding him in life, in death, and in life beyond death. The Marine Corps daughter got married and settled down, happily quarreling instead with her mate, and of her dad she said, "I grew up, he got older, we worked it out." The poor couple clung to Amway, but also volunteered in church and led a community day of celebration, those having the least somehow managing to give the most. The doctor and wife, in bitterest child loss, a grief like no other, had the friendship of a later minister and his presence and his care and the sincerest of loving thoughts and prayers by the religious and by the not so religious both, lifted at night from house to house in the twilight by the river. The hard-drinking dad climbed on the wagon and stayed seated in the presence of Bill and other friends and has yet to fall off. The matriarch died surrounded by admirers and friends and waves of students who studied her life, in studying her life, themselves learned how to live. The forgotten insurance agent, long dead himself, stands up from his lifelong wheelchair and greets us in memory at every sighting of the China nameplate gifts. The aged couple, dapper and dour, squabbled happily enough till death they did part. The tenure-robbed academic took his beautiful family to a similar school in California to soak up the ever-present sun and to enjoy a permanent job in a happier college. The disabled teenager acquired a piano teacher, a lifelong friend, a minister's wife who deeply loved her, decades beyond her dad's death. In July, Jan and I took a walk. We remembered hurt. We remembered help. We realized how ferociously fast 30 years passed. Three good lessons in a summer weekend. Three words of wisdom on a fall Sunday. For another town, a city with its own charms. For another university, a school with its own hurts. For another generation, discovering its own rivers of help. For you, Boston. For you, Boston University. For you, Marsh Chapel. And for those entering the ministry, three lessons. One, even the smallest of churches, even the smallest of communities, is teeming, laden with nearly bottomless hurt. Two, every hurt after 30 years, every hurt that we have seen, has had the friendship of help, of some help, not always adequate help, but yet some help still. Not always adequate help, but yet some help still. And three, it does not take very long to go from being a young Turk to becoming an old turkey. Carpe diem. In the Bible we read, where sin abounds, grace overabounds. In the Bible we read, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Where hurt abounds, somehow hope lingers. Grace, a common grace. Grace, an abiding grace. Grace, an amazing grace. In Norman MacLean's title to his masterwork, a river runs through it. Nothing good is ever wasted, nothing good is ever lost in the economy of care. So at least do testify two formerly young people, a formerly young ministerial couple who walked through memories of hurt and walked through memories of help, who 30 years ago had no idea how they could raise a family on $8,000 a year, themselves back then, themselves since then, themselves now and then, all in a lifetime, saw help, got help, had help, gave help. You will too.